Okay. Podcasting on JerusalemCast.com. Meow.
Meow. We are on Masechet Makot, Daf Vav Amud Aleph. Halfway down the page. Amale Rav Papa La'abai. Rav Papa says to Abai, I've got a question. Ela Me'ata, from now. Now, what from now? So Rashi tells us from now we're talking about the case of Rabbi Yossi. I'm just going to read it through in the Gemara, and then we're going to go to the Rashi's. So now that you're talking, we're in the case of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, who does not have an exception that Rebbe has. Rebbe borders on an exception and says that we have a rule. Rabbi Akiva brings us a rule that if you're a Karov, if you're a relative, you can pass all the case. You ruin the case. Rebbe said, don't worry about that rule, because if you're not really involved, you won't want giving the warning. We can ignore you. You can carry on as a witness, and it's not going to ruin the case. But Rebbe Yossi doesn't allow you to get out of it that easy. Rebbe Yossi's basic position is, if you're a relative and you're involved in this case, you're a witness, say you pass all the case. So according to Rebbe Yossi's position, the Gemara now asks, Rav Papa asks to Abai a question. Ela Miata, from now, Harug Yatzil, a victim of a murder, will save the murderer. Why? Because the victim of a murder, saw what was going on. And he, Rashi tells us, we're going to see inside, is also a witness, and is also related. He's related to himself. He's related to one of the people involved in the case. He's related to himself. And he saves the accused. So that's the question. So how can it be that the Torah ever has the case of a murder case? No murder case could ever come to trial, because all murder cases would automatically get thrown out of court. Why? Because there's always a passive witness. The victim himself is always going to wreck any claim. So Abai has an answer. Abai's answer, the Gemara tells us, is the case of Kesheharagu Me'achorav, where he was killed from behind. In the case where he was killed from behind, he didn't see it coming. If he didn't see it, he can't be a witness. Only people who see the event can be a witness. So therefore, we do have a case where, even according to Rebbe Yossi, there is the victim does not ruin the claim. Okay? Gemara tries again. It says, what about the sodomizer? Near Bayatzil, the sodomizer too. The sodomizer too presumably saw his attacker. And if so, he racks up the claim too. He's also a witness. He was there at the time. He saw it happen. So that should also wreck the claim. He's also a witness in his own case. Answer? Same answer. Kishenilbu me'acharad. Right? He didn't see it. It happened from behind, and he didn't see the person, and therefore he's not a witness. So you can have such a thing as a claim. But the third one, Abai doesn't have an answer for. What's the third case? Horeg v'rova. The horeg, the murderer, and the rova, the sodomizer, yatsilu. They should save themselves. The person who murders, the killer, and the person who sodomizes, the sodomizer, in fact, anyone who commits a crime, is always a witness. And there's no case that you can say that he never saw it. So there's no case where we can ignore his testimony. We can ignore the fact that he was a witness. And because we can't ignore the fact that he was a witness, and he is karov to himself, he's a relative to himself, he's going to ruin every single case. Every claim that you bring to court is going to automatically get thrown out. Ishtik. Abai was silent. He had no answer to him. There's no case I can think of, Abai is saying, where this won't apply. Where the perpetrator himself won't ruin the claim. So what happened? So the Gemara says, Ki atala kameya de Rava. When they came before Rava, Amale, Rava told him. When he came before Rava, Rava told him. We don't know who the him is, but let's say over here it's Rav Papa. He told Rav Papa, who was asking the question. How do I deal with this answer? Easily, I have a different way of dealing with it. The solution is this. Yakum Devar. The Pasuk tells me the word Yakum Devar. And that solves the answer. How? So I'll read the Gemara and then we'll learn out why that solves the answer. Yakum Devar. V'makai Me Devar. From the word Yakum Devar, I learn out V'makai Me Devar. We're only talking about Makai Me Devar Hakatuv Medaber. That the Pasuk, the Hakatuv, is speaking Medaber, is speaking about Makai Me Devar. Speaking about those that establish the matter. So let's say it outside and we'll see it in the Rashi. So we're saying that only those that establish the matter, only the Aidim themselves, those are the ones that we're talking about. We're not talking about the victim or the perpetrator. The victim or the perpetrator, they're involved in the case, but they're not the ones who establish the matter. The ones who establish the matter are only the witnesses. And therefore, in terms of our sugya, what we're trying to learn out, we see from here that only the ones who are witnesses are relevant for being a relative and wrecking the case. If you're a relative and you wreck the case, that only applies to those who Makai made the birth and not to the other people involved in the case. So that's a pshat. So let's look at the Rashi now. We're going to see a bit deeper what exactly is going on. Bezat Hashem. So let's get the first Rashi on this section of the Gemara is Vaharug Yatsil. The victim, the murdered one, Yatsil, will say. So this is the question of the Gemara. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. Won't the murdered victim, won't he save the accused by the fact that he's Pasul? So Rashi explains. Le Rabbi Yossi, you're talking about Rabbi Yossi. This case only applies to Rabbi Yossi. It doesn't apply in the case of Rebbe. There were two options here in our Mishnah. We had two different scenarios, two different opinions, Rabbi Yossi and Rebbe. Rashi points out that this argument is only an argument against Rabbi Yossi. It's not an argument against Rebbe. Why not? Anyone explain to me why this argument doesn't argue against Rebbe?
I don't understand. Rebbe
says that you're allowed to throw out if one of the mourners is possible. If one of the Adam are possible but isn't one of the mourners,
yes,
then you can throw out that Adam.
Yeah, fair. And therefore?
And therefore you'd be able to keep the testimony.
Okay, and so therefore, if I ask this question to Rebbe, I say, Rebbe, what about the victim? And what about the perpetrator?
Right, you'd still be able to keep the
because
the Adam, because he wouldn't be considered part of the, you just throw him out and you keep the Adam, he's not one of the mourners.
Because he's not one of the mourners. That's the key. Right? The victim and the perpetrator are for sure not either of the people who are warning. And if they're not warning, Rebbe's already told us that we don't have to worry about people who aren't warning. Only warners are the ones that we have to worry about being pasul. And for sure, the victim and the perpetrator are not one of the warners. They're not giving hatra'at. The victim's not giving the... He could be, but he could be the one telling. In theory, it's tough. But generally speaking, so it's not going to be a problem. For sure, the perpetrator is not giving warning to himself. So in those cases, the fact that he's going to be pasul doesn't bother Rebbe. Yeah? Good, Hanan? Okay. So that's why this case is only attacking, so to speak, is only questioning Rabbi Yossi's opinion. So that's why Rashi says, points out, the Rabbi Yossi, we're talking about Rabbi Yossi, Dama, who said, Af b'lo hatra'ah pitro. Because Rabbi Yossi said, even if he didn't warn, right, even if he didn't warn, he can still wreck the case, says Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, you don't need to be a warner to wreck the case. And these people who didn't warn, they can wreck the case. because they, warning is not part of, it's not relevant, says Rabbi Yossi.
Everybody involved.
Everybody involved. You don't have to warn to be a relevant witness. Shalonik kaven laid, someone who didn't intend to witness, who matzil et anaidon, can still save the accused. Someone who did not intend to be a witness can still save the accused. We can say that the victim and the perpetrator, for sure, they didn't intend to be a witness, but they still can throw out, they can still can save the accused, because we saw from Rabbi Yossi that he doesn't care whether you intend to be a witness. It's not relevant, your intention. The fact that you saw it is enough. And these are the people who saw it. So Rashi comes to tell you that even though they didn't intend, because you could have said, for sure they didn't intend to be a witness, and therefore they shouldn't be included in this case. Rashi says that's not relevant. Rabbi Yossi says intention doesn't matter here. So Rashi continues, Rashi explains now the way we would learn out that the harug, the victim, could wreck the case. We're saying that the victim, if he's a relative of himself, that wrecks the case. Rashi explains the steps now, how you would understand, why would I even think that? It's not even on my radar. Before, the Gemara told me that the victim could ruin the whole case, and the perpetrator could ruin the whole case. The Gemara didn't tell me that. It wouldn't have even come to my mind that should be the case. I was thinking about Aidim. Nachon? If an aid is a relative, well, that's a problem. He's going to be biased, he's going to be involved, for sure. But why are we even thinking that the victim or the perpetrator could wreck the case by being a relative? Where did that idea even come from? So Rashi now explains to you why that's a valid question. Why you could even suggest that that's a valid question. Rashi explains the steps to how you would understand that's true. That's the possibility. Rashi explains now. Mifnei korva harug, nami yatzil et anidon. Mifnei on account of korva harug being a relative of the victim. On account of being a relative of the victim, nami yatzil et anidon, you also save the accused. We know that you save the accused, meaning that you throw out the case, if you're a relative of one of the witnesses. We learned from the previous sugya, two brothers. If you're a relative of witnesses, we learn that passes the case. But now Rashi's saying, also if you're a relative of one of the people involved, if you're a relative of a victim too, that's also a problem. Right? Up till now, we only knew if you were a relative of one of the Aidim. But also, if you're a relative of the victim, you can't give testimony either. Nachon? So we're learning that if you came to court, you're an aide. And they say to you, who are you related to here? You related to any of the aidim? No, no. Are you related to the victim? Yes, there's a problem. You're not allowed to be related to the victim. So that's step one. So step one, we're saying, not only are you pastoral if you're related to one of the other aidim in the case, you also pass it if you're related to the victim himself. And now you know that you're that also saves the nadon. Sharei gam hu ra'eh. Now we're learning that even the victim, because why? Because even the victim himself also saw the case. V'hu karov etzel atzma. And these last three words of Rashi tell you the other bit of information that you need, that you wouldn't have otherwise known. That the who karov et selatzmo, a person is considered to be related to himself. In the case of testimony, in the case of the Beit Din, you're considered to be related to yourself. For the laws of relationships, a person is considered related to themselves. Now you have that information, and you know the fact that you're not allowed to be related even to the victim. So it makes sense. It makes sense to say that the victim should also pass all this case. Good. That's the Rashi. Top. Next Rashi.
The problem.
What's it?
The problem.
Yeah, the problem. But
somebody breaks into a house, kills a family member. The only ones in the house are family members.
Right.
That's like the Fogel case.
Yofi.
Can't be.
So. But where the answer is, it is. If there is no one else other than passal witnesses, then neither no solution that we get in this sugya helps. The solutions that we see in this sugya are as follows. If you didn't give warning, or if you are a victim or the perpetrator, or if they're the two solutions. So you don't need to be involved in the case, so we can excuse you from the case, but you still need two valid witnesses at the end of the day.
If you look further, Rabbi Hananel, and it brings from the Rambam, the Tosfot and the Rishonim,
people who didn't attend the court. So there's different views, but at the end of the day, you still need two valid witnesses.
Yeah, but being a relative does not, apparently, does not.
It does not pass all for it because you can excuse them. Each of these, this sugya gives us ways to excuse passal witnesses from the case.
Excuse passal witnesses and keep the case
and
going.
Right. But either way, at the end of the day, you still need two valid witnesses who weren't passal.
Right.
You can have other passal witnesses involved in the matter, and we can find a way to get rid of you through one of these methods. But at the end of the day, we still need two witnesses.
At the end of the, shall we say, the end of the story?
Yeah.
In Sanhedrin. We have said, okay, you can't kill the murderer, but you can put him in jail.
So maybe the
jail in those days was not exactly.
So the Beit Din also has other powers, but according to the writer, certainly we can't punish him according to Torah law, according to what should happen to him. We don't have two valid witnesses. So
nothing like barley.
So yeah, fair. So let's look at the next. Rashi, Kesher Harugu Me'achorav. Right? So Rashi explains to us now the Devorah Matzchil, the part in the Sugya which says where he killed him from behind. Why? What do you need to tell me here, Rashi? So this Rashi tells as follows: Mitzkaimin Kol Hamikraot She Mechayvin Et Harotseah Direg. Did anyone manage to understand this Rashi? No, it's a difficult Rashi. Rashi's not explaining here the sugya. Rashi is pointing out here something else. Mitkaimin kol hamikraot. We establish, or he's establishing, it is establishing, kol hamikraot, all of the verses, shemitkaivin, that obligate, et harotseach, the killer, lehira'eg, to be killed. Yofi. Anyone? Now, so you've got the words, you've got the meaning.
Mm-hmm.
What's Rashi coming to say?
With all the debate that's going around, the bottom line has to be that the killer has to be killed. And all things that keep it from happening, by this aid, that aid, with your relative, not relative, but give warning, not kind of warning, can't let it interfere with the source of Torah saying the guy has to be shot and taken out and shot or whatever.
Okay. So, Tov, could be.
He's giving an explanation.
Yeah.
So he's giving an explanation in order that the killer should still be able to be killed. What is he doing? What were the two explanations? All of the verses in all of the Torah and all of the matters of all of the killing, or all of sodomy, they wouldn't be able to exist if you didn't have this explanation.
Very good.
So what's the explanation?
Yeah.
That he comes from behind, and therefore if he has an explanation, then all of the verses of the Torah can still stand.
Yeah. Omar, exactly as you say, with a little tweak. The tweak is this. He's saying that all the verses of the Torah which come to teach you why a murderer is killed are based on the scenario of where he came from behind.
Right.
Yes, which is what he said.
Explaining
that according to this learning of the sugya, it means therefore that any case in the Torah that talks about a murder case is coming to teach you only, it's a big chiddush apparently, that only we're only talking about cases where the murderer came from behind, where you didn't see him. Because otherwise you wouldn't have a case. So it must be, therefore, that this applies to all cases in the Torah. That all cases in the Torah are talking about where he came from behind and he didn't see him coming. Yofi. That's the Rashi. Yofi.
Yes? You could have a case where, like, someone throws a stone at you and kills you immediately. You don't see him. You just get the stone.
Same idea. So when it says that you're killed from
somebody.
No, when it says you were killed from behind, it doesn't mean dafka behind. It means that you didn't see it, right? If you weren't paying attention and he came in front of you and shot you, and you weren't paying attention. So it doesn't mean dafka from behind. It means a case where you didn't see it.
It's establishing the possibility that you didn't see it. Not that you dafka didn't see him. It's establishing the possibility.
Why?
Because you can't ask the guy whether you saw him or not.
No,
but as soon as you have the possibility that you didn't see him, then all of the cases can stand.
No.
But if you didn't have the possibility, if you didn't have the possibility, if you had to dafka see him, you had to see him, right? Then none of the cases can stand in the Torah. It's establishing the possibility that he was seen. As soon as you establish the possibility, you see what I'm saying? As soon as you establish the possibility that he didn't see, then all of the cases can stand. If you don't
they can't stand because you the cases where he did see wouldn't stand.
But you can't verify.
Exactly, you can't verify because he's the killer.
That's not what the Gemara said. The Gemara says where he came from behind. Where he came from behind. If you don't have a case which falls into that, from the witnesses. The witnesses are going to stand there and they're going to say, "We were there. I spoke to him. I had the gun pointing at him, and I told him, 'I'm going to kill you now. Say, give me your last request. 1, 2, 3. Bye bye.' Right? And then what you did with yourself?
We can take a correlation. There's another place where murder is brought up. It's with the accidental murder. What's the difference between the murderer or the killer that can run off to the Irbi Klot and who cannot?
Yeah.
One who stalked, who planned and stalked.
Okay. Yeah.
Is one that cannot go to the Irbi Klot.
Okay.
So when somebody stalks and kills somebody, he doesn't come up and say, "How are you doing, fella? You know, today I feel like killing you."
But that's not the difference. It doesn't happen. Or not. The difference, the Torah uses the word stalking not to say that he's hidden. He uses the word stalking to say that he intended.
What?
He intended to kill. It wasn't a shogeg. By accident.
Yeah. But the thing is,
it doesn't have to be hidden. It doesn't have to be that he's
stalking hidden. Doesn't have to be hidden. Right. But a person can be walking down the street. Somebody says, "I'm going to kill this guy down there," or I got paid $10,000 to wipe him out. You know, I got a contract.
Okay.
He's not going to walk up to you and, "How are you doing? You know, what's going on? I bought a contract with you. I'm going to knock your head." No, he's going to come. He's going to sneak up on him.
Maybe.
And before he can react, he's going to kill him.
In some cases,
can be behind, in front, on the side, or it's going to be a surprise attack.
So that's what. So according to this sugya, the Torah is only speaking about murder
a surprise
cases
attack.
Of where he didn't see.
Or wasn't aided, or didn't have time
for
to react.
For whatever reason, he didn't see it.
To recognize what's going on.
But the key is whether or not he saw it.
You can see and not see. You can see a person briefly, but not have time to.
But we don't have that. From our sugya, the only thing we have in our sugya that we have to make our understanding here is where he saw it. That's what we have. How you then grade that, a person could decide, but so far we've got to see or not.
Second, but not collect what you see.
But then you can argue backwards and forwards.
Still not seeing.
You can argue that way, but we have got no proof.
We had that earlier, actually, before. If it's assumed that it was seen.
Go see Anson, ask the man.
In case of the.
We don't see him at all.
The hand told me from a distance.
Okay. Tom, let's do the next Rashi.
The other example is that massacre of the yeshiva students.
The Gemara goes only on seeing. The Gemara makes only the difference here about seeing. That's what the Gemara cares about. If you saw, what's the difference? If you saw, you're a witness. That's the basic pshat of being a witness. And it doesn't matter if you're the victim, you're the perpetrator, you're anyone involved. The basic pshat is, if you saw, you're a witness. That's the starting point of the Gemara. The Gemara assumes that all witnesses can wreck a case, can be passed, including the victim and including the perpetrator. Why? What makes them witnesses? The fact that they saw the case, they saw it happen. And this whole sugya is now revolving about all the people involved that saw it happen, whether they intended to be there, whether they didn't intend to be there, who's passed, who's not.
And when they kill, is a witness also.
Further on.
Because they be, it's alive.
Whether it's alive or dead doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's alive or dead.
But how can you get testimony from a dead person?
So you don't need to have testimony. So the pshat is you.
It's
a good question. Yeah, fair. Very good question. So right, Yosef's asking the question. Why bring the case of the murdered person? He says Horeg, the murdered person. Right? If he's dead, for sure he can't be a witness. Why do you say that he can be a witness in this case and he's passed on, he's a relative to himself? So the Gemara assumes that it doesn't matter if you're dead now. The fact that you were a witness at the time appears to be the only distinction. At the time it happened, you were a witness.
The fact that you were involved in the group of witnesses, right? And therefore you could pass the whole thing.
Right, so even let's say the case of where you have someone who's a witness. He's a witness. He gave warning, he gave everything, and he was a relative, but then he died before he came to court.
Right.
So it's still thrown out. Even though he can't be a valid witness now, he's dead. He was one of the original proper witnesses. Even to Rebbe, if he was the one who gave warning, then so too, even if he died, it doesn't matter. He wrecks the case.
Down the line, it brings up the person did not come to court, did not come to Beit Din, or he came to Beit Din and did not see, just sent us to see what was going on.
We're going to get to that. That's the rest of the
Sukkot.
Right. According to Rebbe that we follow in the end. Yeah, fair. Okay, so
the Rashbam, Ramban, and
there's different opinions on it, but we're not to that bit yet. Okay, so then what's the next Rashi? The next Rashi is Yakum Devar. What did we say? We said that the answer that Rava gave to this problem, the answer he gave was, we only care about those who are Yakum Devar. Those are, in the words of the Gemara, the Makayme Devar. They're the ones that establish the matter. You're right. Rava doesn't say at the end that we only care about the Eidim. Because in truth, the perpetrator and the victim, they're also called Eidim. He doesn't say only Eidim. He says only Makayme Devar, only those witnesses that actually establish the matter, because they're all considered to be witnesses. They all saw it. So we can't say the answer here is only the witnesses we care about and we don't care about the victim and the perpetrator. No, because they're also called witnesses in the language of the Gemara. So only those witnesses that establish the matter. So Rashi explains, Yakum Devar, how do I know that this is the... How do I know that these are the ones that we care about? So Rashi says like this, Katuv b'haikra is written in this pasuk, She'asan l'kulam kishnayim. It's written in this pasuk, I'll read the words and then we'll try and understand it, because again this is a difficult Rashi. It's written in this pasuk, She'asan, that we make l'kulam kishnayim, that we make everyone like two. The Hainu ha'edim, meaning the witnesses. Aval lo ba'osei hadavar, but not those who are osei davar, who are involved in the matter. So, just from the end of the Rashi, we've really got the answer. But we need to understand the rest of the Rashi, because Rashi doesn't write stam. So, if we just had the end of the matter where it said, aval lo osei davar, not those who are involved, yakum b'lo asei. Those who are Yakum, those who are Makayme Devar, those who establish the matter, but not those who are Osei Devar, who are just generally involved. So we've got a nice pshat, a nice understanding, that what the Gemara is trying to come to tell you is, only those who establish it, but not those who are involved. But that's not enough. because Rashi comes to tell us that whole chunk in the middle. What's all that relevant for? That has to be meaningful. So let's try and see. Let's try and explain why Rashi needs to tell us that middle section. What does that middle section say? That middle section says, it says in this pasuk that we make everyone like two, meaning the witnesses.
The two witnesses or the two mourners? The shnayim.
Explain your question.
We make everybody like two witnesses.
Everybody meaning?
Everybody involved in the... We just singled out everybody.
Yeah.
We just singled out the people who made the testimony. So it has to be the people who made the action. So we're talking about the witnesses, right?
Yeah.
So now, it's only talking about the witnesses. At the end of the Rashi singles out the people who perpetrate the action.
Right.
Right? So now, we make them all like the warners.
The warners.
Right.
Where do you see warners?
Because like the Shnayim, there's only two warners. Who else would you be talking about?
Okay. I'm not going to answer you, but I'm going to say our first direction to what to do with this, because we don't know what he's talking about. So we need to take our clues from Rashi himself. Rashi says, it says in this pasuk. So first of all, we need to see what pasuk he's talking about. And then we can see what it is that, well, actually, what the context is. So it says in this pasuk. So I can't move further from the Rashi before knowing which pasuk he's talking about. So which pasuk is he talking about?
Devarim
Yud Tet.
Tet
Tet Vav. Why do you say that? Why do we say he's talking about
because
that?
Because that's the beginning of the Gemara. It says Lo Yakum. I mean, sorry, Yakum Devar.
Yafem. Yafemod. Okay. So that the Gemara here is talking about, how do I understand the words Yakum Devar? Where is that found? So that, as you say, it's found in this passage of Devarim Yud Tet. Right.
There's a Lo in front of it. That's the thing. Lo Yakum. What does it mean?
Where?
No, it said the last two words of the passage.
The last two words of the passage. Alpi, it's right at the end of this passage is what we're talking. Alpi Shnayim Edim or Alpi Shlosha Edim Yakum Devar. Through two witnesses or through three witnesses Yakum Devar, the thing will be established. So now we've got the passage. So now we've got a little bit more in order to start looking at the Rashi. So Rashi says in this passage, right, this passage, we made kulam kishnayim. In this pasuk, we made kulam like shnayim. What's making kulam like shnayim? So we learned that before in the previous sugya, the rule of making everyone like two. It's just like three is like two, so everyone is also like two. Nachon? That learning, Rashi says, is in this pasuk. Why? Because we've got the same teaching. Alpi Shnei Edim or Alpi Shlosha Edim. What do we say earlier? We said, why does it come to tell me two witnesses or three witnesses? Why do you say two or three? If you tell me two, then for sure three. Answer, to make three like two. Right, the whole sugi that we just had on the Mishnah. To make three like two. To teach me that three is like two, and so too, 100. From the word Edim. So Rashi says, we learn in this pasuk, the pasuk which has Yakum Devar, that we have this learning of making two like 100. Hainu ha'edim, that means we're talking about the edim. That learning is telling you about the edim, is telling you about those who are coming to testify. That learning is not coming to teach you about the perpetrator or the victim. It's coming to teach you about the edim. And therefore, when the passage continues and says Yakum Devar, you know that the word Edim over there is talking about only the witnesses and not talking about the victim or the perpetrator. And therefore, that fits in the missing piece of the puzzle, how we know that Yakum Devar means only the Edim and it doesn't mean, because you could have said, without that bit of Rashi, you could have said, Yakum Devar also goes on the victim. He's part of the people who established the case. Without him, there's no case. without a perpetrator, there's no case. He is relevant. He is Yakum Davar. Rashi comes along and says no. You learn from the Pasuk is specifically talking about those who are witnessing, those who are testifying. Because you learn that case, that out, because of the two and the three. Two or three Adim, they're the ones who are testifying. Therefore, those are the ones that Yakum Davar. Therefore, those are the only ones that are relevant in the case of working out who is Pasuk. Yofi, I think we'll stop there.
Oh, yeah.